You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury. Welcome to the podcast. We have some students in the studio today, which is always so much fun. I love talking to our students, and today's students are in the middle of some really cool research. So welcome, Joanna Jung and Noah Clark. Do you guys want to tell me a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. I'm Noah. I'm majoring in biology, and I'm going to graduate this semester, so looking forward to that. Tonight, I'm also presenting at Search. I have a poster presentation on sort of the topics we're covering today.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Joanne. I'm a bio major, but I also double minor in chemistry and English literature. I'm the club president for the Faith and Science Club. Noah is the executive publicist, and that's what we're here for today.
So, Noah, what is light? Where does it come from?
Simply put, I'd say that light is like just the entirety of the electromagnetic spectrum. Mm-hmm. So light is basically energy, and we think of light when we say that as like visible light, which is a very tiny part of the spectrum. And through that, we see everything. But it's actually a lot more pervasive than that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's light energy everywhere in the universe, whether you can see it or not. As for where it comes from, it's usually emitted from a source of some kind. Mm-hmm. Humans also radiate light, as we can see with infrared goggles and things. So, you know, it's usually emanating from some source. But there are some things, such as cosmic microwave background radiation, which are considered to be, like, residual light from the Big Bang or from other theorized origins of the universe, which don't have an apparent source, but they are, you know, everywhere. And so, yeah, that's kind of the basic understanding. Yeah.
Well, I like what you said, you know, some light we can see, but, you know, you can also feel it. And, like, everybody knows that feeling of going outside when the sun's out. It's a feeling. So explain what that feeling is coming from.
That's coming from heat emanated from the sun, as we know. And heat is another form of energy, which is to say light you can't see. And it's sort of a side effect of sort of the sun's massive energy output. And humans, we have our own chemical reactions going on in our body all the time. And the sort of byproduct of a lot of those reactions is heat or an energy in general. So that's why we're so warm. And, you know, that's kind of where it comes from.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I remember somebody telling me, you know, say you're vitamin D deficient and you're like, oh, I'll just take a vitamin D supplement. You're missing out on the chemical reactions within your body that create vitamin D. There's also other beneficial aspects of that reaction, which I think is what you just said, which is so fascinating to me, how our bodies are created to do these things without us even knowing it. It's amazing.
Noah's touching on the really scientific aspects, the tangible aspects of light, and she also covers the imageries of light in the Bible as well. And then I transition into kind of the literature aspect of light, the imagery of it, how we associate it with different images of light and associations with those images of light. So we explore it from like multiple perspectives.
Quite a few angles, yeah.
Yeah. What are some of those associations that you're exploring in your research, Joanne?
So this is actually associated with my search project that I'm going to be presenting tonight. It was also originally part of the Enlightable event that we just presented as part of the club. But my research is based on Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And I talk about light as it pertains to literature. So to kind of give context, are you familiar with like C.S. Lewis's essays on Meditations on the Toolshed? He talks about how there's a difference between looking at things and looking along things. And the analogy that he gives is a beam of light. He says, when you're standing in the beam of light, you're not seeing the light nor the particles illuminated by the light. But when you look along the beam of light, you're looking at the particles, the dust particles in the toolshed that are suspended, as well as you're also looking at the beam of light precisely because you're looking along it. So in that sense, I'm kind of arguing for how literature kind of provides the looking along method. And you see that imagery in Robert Louis Stevenson's Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
That's fascinating, Joanne. I'm looking forward to seeing your all's poster presentations. That's really cool.
We're and maybe, excited as well.
Yeah. Maybe one of you will win. We'll see.
We're pointing at each other.
Yes. So you touched on it briefly, Noah, the event that you guys did a couple weeks ago, In Light of All. It's about faith, light, science. This ties into your project with Search. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I sort of had this concept of studying light as a whole, but it was kind of late in my major to start an entirely new study, especially since, you know, quantum mechanics is not my specialty yet. So Dr. Schaefer is my mentor, and he suggested that I take a more philosophical view on it. So I'm really passionate about the faiths and the sciences together, especially in like an apologetic sense, because I believe that science can help bolster your faith as a Christian. Unfortunately, a lot of the talking points that faith and science sort of intersect on is the like theory of evolution and things that stem from that. So it's a very sort of restricted, like debate circle that they're kind of
it's all about origins.
Correlated to. Yeah.
Is that right?
It's all about origins and specifically Darwin's theory, not much about the rest of reality. So I figured like it's a lot easier to start from a point where both faith and science are kind of they're kind of unfamiliar because light is an enigma in pretty much every field. We don't really understand it perfectly, actually hardly at all. But in the sort of backdrop of faith, we have more of a context for why it behaves the way it does and how it can be correlated to our Creator. So it's a really interesting sort of jumping off point to sort of reconcile faith and science, in my opinion. And that's what our In Light of All event was kind of about. I gave a big sort of rundown of what light was in the arts and in the religions and in science, and then how we could use that as future apologetic Christians or intellectuals in our careers and in our talks with people.
What made you guys want to study this?
So it's actually just conversations that we have with professors that really help. With Dr. Schaefer, this is actually a signature that he signs off his emails with. I think it says something like,
if reality is only 0.0035% of, you know, what we see, how can we be sure
that what we believe, the reality is just only of what we see? So
yeah.
Can we believe that? So just kind of intersecting all these ideas together, coming with professors to kind of expound on that and forming a club to provide an environment with which we can have collaborations through with peers as well. So that's just been our whole goal, just trying to get more discussion on topics like this.
Yeah. And I had actually had this theory for a long time. Like when I was younger, my mom and I would actually talk about this one-on-one. She's not a scientist, but we would like to talk about things related to faith and science. And she was like, we don't know like what exactly, you know, subatomic particles are made of, like, you know, leptons and quarks, for example. And she was like, what if it was made of energy? Like, what if fundamentally everything is made of light? Because we know fundamentally most of us is empty space. Mm-hmm. Like atoms don't take up a lot of space.
Collection of atoms.
Yes, exactly. But then we have to dig deeper into, you know, the quantum realm and things that you see in sci-fi and things. And we really don't understand all that much. And mom was like, well, what if, you know, would it be contradictory to science if everything was made of light? And I was like, well, I don't know. So I would look up things and it was like, there is a basis for this. People in physicists have started to theorize things like this. And then it hit me, like, the first thing that God said at the beginning of creation was, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the sunlight because he didn't invent, you know, the sun or the moon or stars till later in the week. So that could be, you know, what he based creation off of was light, which is a fundamental aspect of his goodness and his holiness. So that was really interesting to me as a kid. And then I came to Asbury and I saw Dr. Schaefer do sort of the black and white chapel. I don't know if you were there. That was like right before the revival.
It was like the day before.
So that was incredible to me that someone else had this sort of idea that fundamentally, what if we don't really understand reality and God really does? Like, that was wild to me that I hear a science professor saying these things. And I was like, wow, I need to study this. I'm not stupid. Like, I can look into this more. And that's kind of how it started for me.
Yeah. What about you, Joanne?
In terms of just light or just
studying this topic or any of your research for that matter,
for me, it really came into fruition after talking with Dr. Strait about my particular project, and then after talking with Dr. Schaefer.
Dr. Strait is an English professor.
Yes.
So it's interesting coming at it from that angle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's where my minor, I guess, comes in. And like I said, the purpose of this whole club was to provide a discussion and a safe environment to do that, to just kind of have everyone's perspective and just kind of enrich the discussion in that way. I was coming from an English literature perspective and saying that we need literature on top of science. Science can't answer all the questions. And rather than fighting over, you know, what's true and what's not, or what's right and what's not in, you know, debates like creation versus evolution, how about we take this discussion from a different angle? So that's where it all started. And then I met Noah and talked about this particular topic regarding light, and then with Dr. Schaefer, and then the In Light of All event came into fruition, and it was just, on from there.
That's amazing.
So really, at the end of the day, none of us know anything.
Unfortunately.
And I think that's, you know, kind of just the mystery of God. You know, we are just a fraction. Like, I love in Job when God kind of takes Job through, like, all these things I did. I do, like, do you know when this happened? Do you do, like, he just kind of shows him the world. And he's like, I know all of this. And you know, like, this much. And really, that's the reality for all of us, which is refreshing and humbling. And I think it would be exhausting if we knew everything all the time, you know? So it's fun to study these topics. For me, with light, I love that you each have your own area of research. I've become, just in the last 10 years, really interested in it from a human health standpoint, our light environments and how they impact our health. And I just think that's an area where everyone in the world, because of our phones and technology and being inside, I just think that's a huge part of human health that is very underrated. And I think it's becoming a little more appreciated. So how do you think we take light and the particular way that we perceive light for granted?
I think this can go both ways. I think it mainly boils down to an attitude of complacence, where you're just kind of sticking to one definition of light and just happy to be there. And again, this was for a discussion. So Noah brought it from a different perspective. I brought it from a different perspective. We had all students from all kinds of majors come by our event and ask really different questions that were really enlightening, kind of raising points that even us, we both didn't have, hadn't really thought about before. So I think taking it for granted is really just kind of being complacent about one definition of it, the way that we're used to.
Right.
And then kind of sticking to, that's why I was kind of frustrated with just a science major. It was like, oh, I need to get something. I need to take something on.
Right.
And conversations with Dr. Strait, I'm sure all the English people will know, they're just really refreshing. They give you a new take on life and a new take on topics. And I think that's really the strength of the liberal arts college that we're in. That we're just able to have these conversations and have these professors who are just really happy to have these conversations with you.
Yeah, there's room to explore, for sure.
Right. Do you have anything on that?
We are very used to thinking of ourselves as very smart in the modern age, especially with, you know, all that we have at our disposal. You know, the world is at our fingertips on these little devices that we have.
Right.
But then when you look at, you know, quantum mechanics and how it was born in the double slit theory, which I'll be speaking on tonight in front of my poster, you realize that even the most intelligent scientists, if they dig far enough, they come to the same conclusion that our biblical forefathers had. And we think of them as very primitive and sort of unknowledgeable about many things that, you know, reflect reality. But the same conclusion that our biblical forefathers had was, we are, like, what is man that you would be mindful of him, God? Like, what are we that you would care for us? We cannot understand or fathom anything that you do, whether it's from, like, you know, keeping the universe in motion to holding together an atom on, like, on a subatomic level. It is just incredibly, incredibly designed and incredibly wonderful. And we take that for granted with pretty much everything because we, you know, I want to say that we often feel like when we talk about science and progress, we have to make a caveat. Like, I'm not criticizing, you know, vaccines. I'm not criticizing, you know, medical advancement. I'm not criticizing, you know, the light bulb. I'm not saying anything that that's bad. Well, I think that we do need to be able to ask that question. Like, what if maybe the invention of the light bulb was bad? Like, what if that has caused us to have sort of third shifts that are not natural and that we're so used to thinking is normal now?
To cause cancer.
Yes. And what if,
rhythms.
Why can't we understand why we're so depressed?
Right.
Like, why is our generation
that's
so anxious?
That's the part that gets me really excited to dig into the health piece of it.
Exactly.
Just think there's so much to explore there.
There's so much just on a fundamental level that God designed for our benefit. Even in a fallen world, this is not even the best version of the world. And we are still able to thrive here because of God's provision. Yeah. And yet we have taken the gifts that he's given us as many creators right. as we are.
Right.
And we use them to sort of only devote our lives to this and not to him.
Well, we make them idols. I mean, we make them mini gods. We make ourselves mini gods.
But then if you think about, like, what if we didn't have this? Like, what if, for example, the stars only came out once every 70 years? So you would think that people would appreciate what we have a lot more if we did not have it. And I don't think it takes us not having something or having the gifts being taken away for us to appreciate them. I just think we need to actually integrate that into our lives and into our worship of God as a whole.
That's really good stuff. What are you guys hoping to do after you leave Asbury?
Well, I'm starting my PhD program in biomedical science in Arizona this fall.
Congratulations.
So thank you. That's a huge leap from undergraduate study.
Yeah.
But this is actually the purpose of this club. I'm trying to just bring with me into my PhD program, just kind of reminding myself, you know, what I'm doing this for, which is basically my faith, kind of, putting it at the center. Also, Noah, you mentioned a really great point that I kind of want to go back on.
Can we?
Yes, of course.
But it's that our club, we have two club verses. The first one is the Proverbs verse, where I'm sure you're familiar with, as iron sharpeneth iron, so one friend sharpeneth another. Mm-hmm. The second one is really, just like you said, Psalm 131, verse 1, it's along the lines of, my heart will not wonder, my eyes will not behold things that are too great for me, Lord. So it's like a verse, it's like an acknowledgement of just how small we are and just how humble that makes us and how grateful we are for God's provisions and the things, the wonderful creation that he's provided for us. So just kind of trying to take that into whatever the future might hold for me. Yeah.
Yeah. For you as a Christian, you know, what is the intention? What's the outcome you're hoping for with your research? You know, that's, as a believer, it's like, okay, well, you know, number one, we want to glorify God and, you know, shed light on things that he's created. You know, for you, what kind of drives you?
In terms of research?
Yeah.
For me, it's always been a combination of what has always been at hand and also what doors God's opened. For me, coming to college too, it's never been an option for me. It's always been a matter of what doors open. And God's always had one door open at a time. So that's just the door that I walk through and just being thankful each step of the way. Yeah. And thankfully, he's opened doors where I, you know, think I will enjoy. And find great meaning doing work. So, yeah.
What about you,
one
Noah?
Step at a time.
Where my research is sort of
And kind of the hope that you have for it.
I mean, I didn't really know I was going to even be doing this poster or research until very, very late in the game. So Joanne saw me scramble to write the paper for this in 3 days.
And you guys are troopers because you are here and your presentations are tonight. So you can give us a practice spiel here while we're at it.
For sure. But, you know, I just, when I went into this, I was like, okay, God, I don't care about whether I win. I don't care about whether I get prizes or scholarships. I really, really don't. I couldn't care less. I was like, I just want someone to read this. I just want people to see this and to have something more about you that they can take home with them. I just want them to see. That's really all that I want from this. I don't really have any solid plans after graduation. I don't have anything figured out. I'm just going to take it one step at a time. And I want God to use whatever I do for him, and in everything I do, I want to remember God. So tonight, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't much know if I'll see any fruit from my efforts or if either of us will. But I'm trusting God to do with this what he will. And that's all that I want.
Love that. That's great. I'm excited to see how that turns out. And I'm looking forward to reading both of y'all's research because it both sounds amazing. I'm a photographer. And so, you know, everyone has their own like use of light and the way they harness light and the way, you know, everyone, you said it earlier, Joanne, you know, everyone kind of comes at it from a different angle, like in their own context, which is another beautiful thing about light is that it's multi-purpose.
Yes.
And we can't live without it. So, you know, just as we close, I appreciate you all coming in here so much.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. I love talking with students. It's the reason we're all here. And I love this research. Just as we close, anything that you all want to add about the Faith and Science Club? That's where you met. That's where you kind of this research was birthed from. Anything in closing?
Yeah, I actually joined the Faith and Science Club sort of late in the game as well. I didn't know there was like a spot for me as much as I figured out. But I'm very, very glad to see this club be the success that it is. And again, even if one person comes in and is able to talk about questions that they have regarding faith or science, I think it's a win. I think it's a huge win.
Absolutely.
So I would really, really like to see that continue on this campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Noah was an active member from the beginning of this club. We just had an opening cabinet later on. So we're also having open positions for next year. So if anyone is interested, my name is Joanne Jung. This is Noah Clark. So
Hi.
Please reach out. But like Noah said, we're just hoping that this vision that we made with this club, it's embodied in the club. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to continue to explain what science is and how can it enrich every aspect of life, mm-hmm. provide a safe environment for people of all kinds of opinions to come and have a really insightful discussion, and just be a really encouraging body of believers, of Christian STEM majors who are going out into the field or to grad school, wherever they go. So just kind of hoping that vision will be carried through.
We do want to spur each other on, for sure. And it's very important, like, that we have that science aspect integrated with our faith. And again, the more that you know about God, you know, that changes the way that you live, and that changes, you know, how you apply ethics to your life. That changes your morality. That changes your worldview, mm-hmm. and it changes how you die. Like, it changes every single thing about you. The more you know God.
Well, just really quick along the lines of that vision. In closing, one more question. In closing, a lot of people struggle with just engaging in the conversation of faith and science. They don't even want to go near it, or they just, like one of you said earlier, they immediately go to that origin. Okay, well, do you believe in evolution? Blah, blah, blah. Like, mm-hmm. There's so much common ground. How would you encourage Christians to approach this conversation in their daily lives?
You just really hit it spot on. Basically, what our club was made for is that we're taking it upon ourselves, mm-hmm. as people who are entering into the expertise of science fields, mm-hmm. to make it more available for lay people, for the general public, for them to understand, equip them with the knowledge, mm-hmm. in more understandable terms so that they'll come to their own conclusions, hopefully in the direction that adds on to their faith instead of taking away. The whole purpose of this is also to just kind of encourage other science majors who are in the same position to do the same wherever they are. So I think if we just continue to make this, we're not expecting anyone to just, you know, convert and just say, you know, oh, this is making total sense and we want to know more. But I think our efforts, it's going to get there somehow.
Yeah, because you said it really well, you know. For some people, it will unfortunately draw them away from their faith. But for so many others, it will just push them deeper into their faith.
Right. Well, too, I think that a lot of Christians, especially, I don't know about science majors as much, but a lot of people are afraid to come to events like this because there's this mindset of, like, difficult questions will dismantle my faith, and difficult questions will make me question my faith. Mm-hmm. And that, I would say to them that you actually become stronger for discussing things that are hard. And if you haven't been raised like in a household that has sort of these topics explained to you and talked about with you, then you're going to be unused to it. But you need to be equipped with these skills in some form before you leave college, because you cannot be an apologetic Christian without knowing how to talk and how to discuss civilly with other people. Yeah. I think it makes you stronger for that.
Definitely. Thank you again, ladies. This was such a pleasure having you in here, and good luck tonight. Looking forward to seeing your research.
Thank you
so much.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.